Don Levitard.
Let's go Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
Stugats.
Let's go Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
Scott Hanson going to join us in just a minute on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Chris Jericho in a half hour. He's back. He's had another winning week. Broke the record. It's V Week, and during these challenging times, ESPN, the V Foundation's fight against cancer has not stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes to cancer research.
All right, so this guy right here, in terms of what Sundays bring into your life, Stugatz, I don't know that people listening to this show have a phrase in their life that matters to them more and makes them happier than thus begins 7 hours of commercial-free football.
It's amazing.
But before we get to Scott Hanson, let's go out to Christine Lisi.
And finally, it's illegal to sleep in a cheese factory in South Dakota. Now back to somebody who'd probably be sentenced to death if he lived in South Dakota.
I would love to be in a warehouse filled with cheese.
You would live in a house of cheese.
Of course I would. Well, not for long, because then I would not have a house.
You eat your way out.
That's right. Yes. So we've got... We've got Scott Hanson here. Sunday marks the 200th edition of NFL Red Zone since it launched in September of 2009. Scott Hanson is with us now. Thank you for joining us, Scott. What do you remember about the first show?
Ooh, well, good to be with you guys again. The first show, honestly, when we came on the air, I was so nervous, like you would be starting any new show as a broadcaster, except this. I figured, I really did think this was going to be a huge hit, right? 7 hours, every touchdown from every game, commercial free, the NFL, all of this. And so I thought, if you screw up this opening on camera, Hanson, it's going to live forever. Like, I'm a sports broadcasting fan. I remember every time ESPN has any anniversary, they roll out the old Lee Leonard 1979, welcome to the ESPN Sports Center, he says, you know, and they roll up that clip. And I'm like, this is the clip, Hanson, for NFL Red Zone. If this thing lives for 50 years, this is what they're going to show. Don't mess it up. And thankfully, I muddled through it and I said, welcome to the first moments of the channel that we hope change the way you watch football forever. And I guess that's proven to be true.
Wow. Big I told you so on the 200th edition of NFL Red Zone. Scott Hanson here to tell you he got it right from the very beginning, not just the cadence and the word count, which, by the way, I do recognize that as a person who walked around his neighborhood at 4 o'clock in the morning repeating for 90 minutes. Pardon the interruption, but I'm Dan Levitard, because I was so scared my first time doing some of that stuff. Take us through the nerves of that. Take us through that first show and, you know, 200 shows ago. How bad were you? How fast did it move that you weren't expecting? Like, what are the things that are different between now and then?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a whole new world. I would say the first episode was not as horrible as it could have been. Now, the audition to get the job was completely different. I don't know if I've ever told you that story or not, but usually when you audition for a TV show, they put you up on the set for 5 or 10 minutes if you're trying to be the weekend sports anchor in Charlotte, North Carolina, right? But for NFL Red Zone, stamina was going to be one of the main job requirements. So the audition was 5 hours long. They did it in the middle of the summer when they were trying to find a host for NFL Red Zone, excuse me, and they took a random week from the season before in the NFL. They took 8 different videotapes, put them in 8 different machines, queued it up to the kickoff, hit play simultaneously, and said, talk. And I went for 5 hours. We did a whole series of games and then up to the halftime of the next window of games. And I flop sweated through my suit that I was wearing. I didn't know if I was identifying any of these third string wide receivers correctly. And I finished and I thought, I either got the job or I ruined my career with NFL media. There is no in between here. Right. And about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call, and it was they named me the host.
I'm worried about you, and I think the audience is as well, because you're a consummate professional, and I have never heard what's happened to you now happen in 200 episodes of NFL Red Zone where you simply can't clear your throat, and you're stuck in a situation. Like,
Scott,
you
okay?
You're the height of broadcasting, and you just power through 7 hours of commercial-free football. Are you okay? What's your status? What did you eat before you came on here? What's happening with your throat and the congestion that you don't seem to be able to dislodge?
Well, at least it didn't happen during the middle of a global pandemic, and then people could worry about me that way. No, but you're a great broadcast partner, because while you were filling right there,
that's
I
all
just
I was
took
doing.
A little swig
yeah.
from my.
That it's from, all, yeah, noticed, you Hanson, it's yeah, all yeah. I was doing. It's what makes me a bleeple around here. The number of times I'm filibustering, and people don't know I'm filibustering, and I'm just stumbling around trying to help somebody.
One of my nicknames is Flumbrance.
My man.
Scott Hanson with Sunday marks the 200th edition of NFL Red Zone since it launched September 2009.
Scott, I'm wondering, the closest you've come, traffic, I don't know, closest you've come to missing the NFL Red Zone?
Traffic.
Well, so I live in Los Angeles. That's where the studios are, but I used to live in Tampa, and I would fly out to do the show. I would fly out on Saturday, and we had a couple of mechanical failures on two different planes, like Tampa to Dallas, Dallas to LA. And I called my producer, and I'm like, this is the last flight here. And the show begins at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And I might not have made it to the, that was about as close as I had. That was mechanical failure on a plane. But other than that, no. I mean, I've played hurt before. You know, you come into the studio and you're sick, or, you know, congested or whatever, stopped up from eating your cheese house, you know, for a couple of hours.
Yes, it's happened to me so many times.
it happens. But no, you know what? It's like, you guys are dedicated to the audience. I am too. And knock on wood, we're going to roll for another 200 episodes.
Can you explain to the audience, when you talk about the stamina of that, like how you sleep that night, what level of drained you are when you leave, how foggy are you? Are you just hopped up on adrenaline and actively looking like someone who just snorted cocaine off that desk?
When I get in the elevator in my condo building, I hope there's no one else in it. Let me put it that way, because I don't want to talk to a human. I don't want to see a human. I don't want to have anything else. I come through the door, I order some food, make myself a beverage, pop on Sunday Night Football, and I am on the couch for the rest of the night. And yeah, that night, yeah, it's comatose. The night before, I get so wired, I can't sleep. Saturday nights, I usually send out a tweet at 1 a.m. Eastern time. You know, hey, guys, we're 12 hours away from NFL Red Zone. And people think I go to sleep then. I don't. I lay in my bed going over facts and figures and freaking depth charts and stuff for the next hour or two until I can get 2-3 hours of sleep and then wake up and let's get after it.
Again, Sunday marks the 200th edition, NFL Red Zone. It's crack cocaine. It's amazing to watch. If you watch football that way, you will never watch it any other way and have it be the same. But I'm curious, when it regards the fatigue level and the intricacies of the job that only you know, is there another job in sports television or television that requires that particular stamina you're talking about? Because I don't think people realize the high wire that is, and I don't think people realize, like, how exhausted you must be after just revving with your foot on the gas through 7 hours of that.
Well, fortunately, I think I got a pretty good motor, right? I'm an energy guy. I love doing what I do and serving the audience. I've thought about it before. The only thing I can come up with is, and all three of us, Dan Stugatz and I, are all old enough to remember the old Jerry Lewis March of Dimes telethon.
Wait a minute. That was over days without sleep. That was 24-hour programming all the time for like 3 days, that telethon.
Well, I'm not making myself into some kind of philanthropic hero here. I'm just saying that's the closest thing I could ever win. Jerry Lewis, remember his on-camera close at the end of it? His tie was ripped off to the side. His shirt was all over the place. He, you know, his hair, you know, he made himself, he affected it to do that way. But he had been on for that many days and doing that much and doing that much good. You guys, if you can name something else, I'm
no,
all
that's a great. No, that's good. I just, it's good. It's just good. Such a great reference by you. The fact that what you said is such a great articulation. Yes, do you remember the historic telethon where people would stay up for three straight days and at 3 o'clock in the morning, like some kid from Poughkeepsie is just dancing for 3.5 minutes because they don't have anything else.
It was perfect, but the younger portion of our audience has no idea. What the three of us
are ancient. He has been around for 200 shows. He is so ancient. 200 more, Hanson. Look at this pace, Hanson. You can't snort that much football and have 200 more of those in you.
I need the cash, fellas. I'm in it for the money. I mean,
my man. Hey, Siciliano told me six espressos, six of them to get through one Sunday. How many for Scott Hanson?
Believe it or not, I hate coffee.
What?
I do not drink it. Nope. I had a mix up with my hot chocolate and my teacher's black coffee back in fourth grade, and Mrs. Rue ruined me forever on coffee because I picked up her black coffee, thought it was my hot chocolate in the white styrofoam cups. And I said, that is disgusting dirt water. I'm never drinking that, and I never have. Okay. So it's all natural what you hear coming out of my pie hole for 7 hours on Sunday.
All natural and a bottle full of amphetamines. He's Scott Hanson. Thank you. Thank you for being on with us, Scott. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, Scott.
Don Lebatard.
Dan is getting to his microphone real quick. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Stugatz. I appreciate it. My apologies. I had to run out for a moment.
Stugatz.
Did you eat something?
I did. I grabbed some turkey. Yeah. You can hear it in my mouth.
Yeah, you made it seem like you were doing something urgent and said you were just suffering.
I was doing something urgent. Yeah. I went upstairs and grabbed some turkey, and then I ran back down here. I'm sorry that I'm late. It's very unprofessional.
Why do you have an entire turkey leg in your pocket?
I do. I walk around here like it's like it's Disney World with one giant piece of turkey at all times.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. We'll get to conversational in a second. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
What do we have with stupidity? Have there been stupidities dropping all over the place?
We dropped two episodes this week. We did the first one with Matthew Hasselbeck, hashtag lacrosse dads. That was a lot of fun. We did that Wednesday. Today, brand new episode with a Weekend Observations crew. Mikey C. maintains it's the greatest episode we've ever done.
Wow, all
That's
right.
That's because it's all about him, Dan.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Billy, what's going on with Mystery Crate? Mystery Crate, is that today?
Dan, on Wednesday we put out another edition of BBBBBB where we talked all kinds of things. I honestly forgot what it was about.
Okay, yeah, you do a great job of promoting that every time I go to you on it.
Well, because, spoiler alert, we recorded like a week before and then I edited and then it goes out and we've already recorded the next episode. So I forgot what is episode and what's the next episode. It's a lot.
That's fair. You and I have walked out of here and people say, hey, what was the show about today? And we're like, we have no idea. Like, we don't remember that stuff.
That is correct. However, I don't think that that's a great way to promote Mystery Crate when the creator has a yawning indifference about the enthusiasm in which he explains why people should listen to it.
It's not yawning indifference. It's that once I'm done with it, I put it to rest and I just keep plowing forward to the next one, Dan. So I'm already thinking about what's going on next. Dan, last week, though, if you want to talk about what happened last week, we talked about beefing with celebrities, Black Friday, blockbuster rentals, baby books, and more.
See, there you go.
That's how you sell, but he wants it to be a mystery.
I had to look it up.
No, I want it to be, but I want you to do, what was that, like a monster truck promo? Is that what you were doing there?
No,
like
monster truck promo voice is more gritty. It has to be more like, and now, grave diggers entering the arena. something like that. I don't know what they would say.
The first one was, now we're really going back a long ways here. Only you and I are going to understand this. That was a Crazy Eddie commercial, what Billy did the first time.
That is an ancient reference.
I mean, we just did the Jerry Lewis telephone.
Well, and Mike made it March of Dimes instead of muscular dystrophy, and we just kept it moving because nobody knows what we're talking about. Okay, so there was a telethon back when there were only just a couple of channels, and every year when that telethon came on, it was a seismic American event. Jerry Lewis was a comedian who was very famous. Jerry Lewis was a legend. Jerry Lewis was old, and Jerry Lewis did very, very good work on behalf of muscular dystrophy. So for three straight days, no one would sleep, just churning out television, which, based on what you just heard from Billy and his yawning indifference, is where we reside, just making, farting so much television that we can't even keep track of what we're making, what we're doing, or show any enthusiasm for it. But Jerry Lewis inevitably would go get a woman from down the street, and she would sit there and yodel for 7 minutes, and that was television. And it would just go on for days, and no one was sleeping, and people looked haggard, and
that's what Hanson looks like at the end of a Sunday.
It is, but it was such a magical time, because hell yeah, I'll watch television if you're just giving me programming. At midnight, I can watch live television where they're going to indeed show me that Gary's little poodle can sit and then not sit. Little six-year-old Gary.
It was an easier time.
It's really hard to make content for that long. It's with no sleep. Nobody was sleeping. Everybody seemed or looked either leathery and haggard or sedated. There was a film over the proceedings, and it was the height of Americana.
Yeah.
It was something the families gathered around for. We've got a long weekend. Let's stay up till 1:30 in the morning and watch this woman make cupcakes. And call now. And he raised so much money.
He really did.
He raised so much money. What a scam Jerry Lewis had. 3 days of television without interruption? Just running the whole place. You could probably raise a lot of money doing that for three straight days. What happened to it? What happened when it feels like that died without much fanfare?
With Jerry Lewis?
Not Jerry Lewis, too soon. The muscular dystrophy telethon, when did that end?
Dan, I'll make calls right now.
Don Lebatard.
Dan is getting to his microphone real quick. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Stugatz. I appreciate it. My apologies. I had to run out for a moment.
Stugatz.
Did you eat something?
I did. Yeah. I grabbed some turkey. Yeah. Okay. You can hear it in my mouth.
Yeah, you made it seem like you were doing something urgent and said you were just suffering.
I was doing something urgent. Yeah. I went upstairs and grabbed some turkey, and then I ran back down here. I'm sorry that I'm late. It's very unprofessional of me.
Why do you have an entire turkey leg in your pocket?
I do. I walk around here like it's Disney World with one giant piece of turkey at all times.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I got Dan Nitro Clark in my Zoom room. Jericho calling in at some point. Chaos is about to break out. What's going on here?
Chaos, an American gladiator?
Yeah. Today on ESPN Daily, by the way, he's 16 NFL seasons in. 16-1-6. And Frank Gore shows no signs of slowing down.
That's not true at all.
That's impossible.
He has shown so many signs of slowing down. That's not true. We will get to Chris Jericho in a second.
ESPN's Tim Kuhn examines what makes him tick. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And we were all made very happy when we saw the smiling face of Dan Nitro Clark in our Zoom.
I miss him so much. Oh, he looks so good. He is chiseled.
Yes, of course. Yes. Always and forever, Nitro shall be chiseled. Oh, yeah, that's
biceps,
right.
Biceps.
Yes, of course he's got biceps. Gladiators never lose their biceps. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do real gladiators ever lose their biceps? He's also now got a dog that's alive. We're very happy about that. That's in his lap. He has gotten over the grieving of his other dog that died that ended our relationship. So it's good that we have this moment of healing. We'll get back to you in a second, Nitro. Hold on just a second, though. It's very important that we get to these kazoos.
Uh-huh. And finally, Andre the Giant grew so quickly, his parents didn't recognize him when he paid them a visit after 5 years away from home. Speaking of people who've doubled in size over the last 5 years.
No, 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 no. So Dan Nitro Clark has a new dog, and we are so happy to have him with us at a time of forgiveness, the holidays. I want to apologize publicly to you many years later, too many years later, for the incessant jackassery of our former producer, who was every week making more and more fun of the death of your dog. I apologize for him on behalf of the entire Levitard community, Nitro. Thank you for joining us. And who is it there that you're joining us with?
Well, this has been my emotional support animal. After the way I was treated, it took a lot of therapy. Right. 10 years of psychotherapy, 3 years of hypnotic therapy, 2 years of going to Rome and just burying my soul in the gladiator arena. But this guy, Ricky, has saved this gladiator and brought me back. I bring him on planes, trains, and automobiles. And it's the one thing that's allowed me to recover from the bashing I took.
All right.
On your show.
So we helped you. We served you. We made you. We helped you find new love. You are a new man. And now we can rekindle our relationship.
Not that kind of dog love. No. I don't go that way.
No. Okay. Very good.
All right.
Chris Jericho going to join us here in a little while. We don't know where Chris Jericho is. We were going to have a ceremony here, Nitro, where you sort of handed off your greatness as the celebrity prognosticator to Jericho because he broke your record.
Jericho is on Jericho time. He shows up when he wants
to show
up.
Well, we can't find him. He's actually very responsible. So I heard, though, Mike Bryant was just telling me, Dan, that you were driving around the other day, and what happened where you heard Chris Jericho on the radio?
Well, Chris Jericho had won his 9th week in a row, and I knew my record was 8 or 9 weeks, and they were talking that he was going to beat Carrot Top. How can you get me confused with Carrot Top?
Good point.
It took a minute to realize that I was the reigning.
That's right.
And was still the champ. But Chris Jericho's a good dude, man. He's a great athlete. He's got a full head of hair, and at my age, a full head of hair is gold. So I'm excited to pass it on. But I have one challenge with him, though. The guy who I went against when we were prognosticating was a picker. That's what he did for a living. The guy that he's going against in an asterisk season is Colin Cowherd, and that is low-hanging fruit.
Wow.
Because he went against Hank Goldberg.
Wow. Nitro yes. is so right. Yep. Nitro, I did not realize that there was a degree of difficulty difference here. Hank Goldberg, you were going after the gambling guy at ESPN. Cowherd is – well, you tell him what Cowherd is comparatively.
Well, he's low hanging fruit. He's, he's not the expert. Look, I like his show and I think he's entertaining, but he's not an expert. He covers all sports. When I went against the guy who covered football, who did it for a living, who set a standard. And also I think as great as Jericho is, this is a asterisk season, right? It's easier.
That's right.
I think what makes sense next year, when we get back into football, I think Jericho and I have to go head to head.
Well, we've got a bit of a situation here. Maybe you can help us. We can't find Jericho. So here we are trying to give your reigning championship of many years to Jericho, the champion for all times, but we can't find him. And you're here, and we've got these lines and these sponsorships. The lines are provided by Caesars William Hill. We've got also a promo for AEW Dynamite Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern on TNT. You don't have anything to do with that. We've got the promo material. We've got the games, but we don't have any Jericho.
So we want Nitro to pick the games, perhaps. What if Nitro picks the games and beats Colin? Then what happens? Is he picking on behalf of Jericho?
We've just got chaos here, but we've got a segment here on live radio, and this is the danger of live radio, as you know. Do you remember the Jerry Lewis telethon, Nitro? There's danger. are you old enough to remember the Jerry Lewis telethon?
Well, yes, I do. But I think maybe Jericho has a little bit of imposter syndrome.
Oh, wow. What do you think? You think he's afraid? You think that he's ducking you because he knew you were going to be on with us today?
No. Chris is a great athlete. I mean, imposter syndrome. I mean, he's a stud. I'm talking imposter syndrome in the sense that he's going against Cowherd, and I had to go against a real guy. He's going in an asterisk season.
Right.
right?
Yes.
And it, this is when I went, it was the real deal. And that's a reason it stood for 10 years.
Man, he's
okay. Well,
wait. Well, let me give a quick shout out to my San Jose State Spartans guys. I know we're jumping to college football, but 4-0 coming back. First time since 1965 we've been 4-0. Just want to give a shout out to the Spartans.
Didn't
San
see
Jose.
That coming.
I didn't know who did. Yeah. None of us saw that coming. I shout out. I don't think that's ever been said to before. That combination of words that you just threw out on the radio.
I thought Gladiators didn't get along with Spartans.
Yeah, isn't that funny? No, that's why I went to college. Me and my boys are just excited that they got a great coach over there who's doing a really good job and is finally giving us a winning season.
Are you saying then that's the first time that anyone has said the word
shout out to the San Jose Spartans? It's not something. Look, however it is, we're ending up here at ESPN. We're nailing the dismount with things that have never been said before in the history of sports radio. Let's do this with Nitro, I guess. I don't know what we're going to do.
We're doing with Nitro.
And now it is time for Celebrity Prognosticator.
I don't know what this
means. Let's win some money.
This is the most controversial turn of Celebrity Prognosticator.
What are we going to tell Jericho when he calls?
I don't know what this means for the record.
Well, Jericho missed his opportunity. What are we supposed to do?
No, you know what? Asterisk. I don't know. Right. He never lost.
Hold on. I think Nitro's got a good idea. Nitro, we'll find Jericho. We'll get his picks at some point. But you're going to pick head up. We're going to do this heads up right now this week. We're not going to wait for weeks to do it. The champion and the former champion, you're going to get to pick games for us because we can't find Jericho and he might be ducking you. Browns at Titans. Again, the lines provided by Caesars William Hill.
Incredible. A head-to-head matchup with our two greatest celebrity prognosticator gladiators in the Coliseum.
Gladiators, that's right.
I have goosebumps.
This really is what it is. You've got gladiators at the height of entertainment, fighting each other, the greatest champions in the history of this show. Nitro, tell them about your book before we pick games. What's going on with your book?
I got some big news coming up, but I can't spill it right now on the Gladiator book. Big stuff happening in the background. And then the second book, F Dying, is after I had a heart attack. Maybe I had the heart attack because of the treatment I got here.
Oh, again with this. Come on, toughen up, Gladiator. Knock this off.
You got to bounce back, dog. Are you?
Look, ever since I took off the spandex, I've been very sensitive.
Is this a tell-all book? Are you gonna bring down the Gladiators? Is this going to be all the behind-the-scenes stuff of a glorious time that is then going to be, you're going to accuse people of steroid use?
Accuse? No, that book came out in 2008. It was Gladiator, True Story of Roids, Rage, and Redemption. The new book I wrote 3 years ago was when I faced my mortality after I had a heart attack 6 years ago. And on a more serious note, when you think you're going to die, and when I was in the operating room and the surgeon said, am I going to die? I asked him. He says, I don't know. We have to get you into surgery. In that moment, I got the answers to what was important in my life. And the book is about how everything changes when you come to that moment and how you want to rebuild your life after facing your death.
Browns at Titans. The Titans, a 5.5-point favorite at home. Who does Nitro?
I miss you so much, Nitro.
Who does Nitro have?
It's Browns and Titans?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, got to go Titans all the
yes,
way,
Yes, of
right,
course, because you're a gladiator. Yes, yep. Of course Titans, you got to go Titans. Yep. Colts at Texans. Texans plus 3.5 at home. Who you got?
You're saying Colts?
Are you cheating?
Who are you talking
Nitro,
to, Nitro?
Nitro, are you cheating? Nitro, who are you talking to there?
Get over here.
Who is it?
It's this guy. Right
oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. It's a gladiator kid? All right, put him on air. Go ahead. You want him to pick for you?
Hey, Adrian, come here. Pick.
Adrian, let's beat up Colin Cowherd here.
4-2 though. He wants me to go Colts. I'm going to go Colts.
All right, Saints at Falcons. Falcons.
Yeah, he said ever since the Texans lost DeAndre Hopkins, and he says he's glad that he who got fired.
Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien got fired for that trade.
He knows too much.
I'm a little worried about this. Yes, yeah, Saints at Falcons. Falcons plus 3. Who do you got?
Saints.
Raiders at Jets. Jets plus 8.5 at home. Nitro, I can't believe you're cheating on every one of these picks. Raiders at Jets.
Okay, I won't look at him. He's so tempting. He's 9. He's amazing. He's great. Let's go Raiders.
Patriots at Chargers. Pick 'em. Chargers at home. Pick 'em game.
Try not to look. He's so tempting. He's whispering. Chargers.
All right. Chargers it is.
Got to go to L.A. teams, guys.
All right. Very good.
Got to go to L.A. teams. I mean, I like the quarterback from Oregon. He's been playing really, really well there. They've lost a lot of close games. They got a tough D. Got to go with the Chargers.
Wow. Just got a whole lot of coverage on that one game. Way to go, Nitro. We love having you back, and we'll see if we see you next week, and we'll put you up against Jericho.
I'm looking forward to it. And give Jericho my regards.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don Levitard.
It's Friday. I'm getting into the weekend. I want to get my drink on.
Stugatz.
We've got to open up the club. Open it.
Open it. Open it. Now.
What is the computer buffering? There it is.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life.
All right, so we do this at the end of every week to celebrate the weekend, and I don't know what has happened with Chris Jericho, but somewhere on social media this weekend, we will get you the Chris Jericho picks on five different games, and we will pair those games against Nitro, and we are having a gladiator face-off for the ages, Stugatz, that is very exciting.
I forgot how good Nitro was with us when he was on the first time.
Well, because
around.
We talked about the death of his dog and it left a sour taste with all of us, but we're going to fix that relationship. And I don't know what happened to Jericho, but let's open up the club, send people into the weekend with an assortment of sounds from the work week and beyond. Are you ready, Alaska? I think it's 7 a.m. or something in Alaska. We are opening up the club. What is the first sound in the club?
I have nothing against Dominique Foxworthy.
All right, so Foxworth hates Cody. Cody hates Foxworth. It has escalated to an unpleasant position. That's where we are. And now he calls him Foxworthy. What else we got in the club?
One of those 12 things of ice cubes. Do they even have those anymore?
Yes, a tray of ice cubes is what Billy was trying to say, and he calls it the 12 things of ice cubes.
It's 7:52 in Alaska.
All right, 7:52 in Alaska. Get ready to go in the club with this sound.
Closer now, dashing down the Dandy Bear sideline. So what, your kid has ringworm? Dandy Bear.
I love that.
We'll never get old,
I love that with no context. Just someone driving around and being like, what the hell was that? Who else is in the club?
Corn Elder crossing El Palacio de los Jugos midfield.
Do I need to explain the joke or are you just going to keep hitting those?
Elder inside the Gus Machado red zone. Corn Elder, he's at the 10. He's at the 5. Lindy, Eric, Scotty, Mike, Miami, Sigmarion, touchdown!
I think it's Tony's favorite thing.
I mean, it's unbelievably funny, but it's funnier to me with someone driving around and no context whatsoever to what it is. Who else in the club?
I'm not a man with many vices, but I'll admit it. I love my Coke. So I go and I will buy Coca-Cola.
He really fixed that at the end in a way that was unnecessary because he's a big chicken.
Where could my Coke have gone? I'm looking in the trash. Was it thrown out? And again, my wife doesn't like that I'm constantly like taking in the Coke because she thinks that it's not great.
It's been a hell of a week for Bill. How delightful is Coke ice, by the way?
There it is. Stugatz offering his obligatory nothing.
How delightful is Coke ice, by the way?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's a free agent right now. Come get him. Come get him. He can fill your airwaves with that.
How delightful is Coke ice, by the way?